Hello, welcome to the Tuts Experience Podcast, a personal journal podcast from yours truly, Kieran Tuttius. And you may know me from the Second Shift podcast and the AllWrestling.com We Can Review podcast as Kiwi Tuts is my nickname. But Kieran Tuttius, we like to live in the reality of things here and there. Here on the Tuts Experience. I do hope you are all well, and I hope you're ready for a very exciting show this week. Now, sadly, we're not going to be joined by my little brother Conwell, because he's very busy at the moment, and which is quite a shame, to be honest. But I will talk about pro wrestling stuff, but there's so many shows out there that at least I'm a part of, which you can get my view on most things, really. But we are today on episode number 47. Oh dear. And there are so many things that we can talk about this week. And ideally, I'd like to talk about what's happened in France last Friday, on Friday the 13th. Bloody hell, of all bleeding days. And not only that, we can also talk about children in need, which I do want to talk about, because there's a lot of conflicting stories and all of that type of stuff on what's that that whole charity. And it's been quite well documented in various newspapers about what it stands for, how much money they've actually got themselves, and what they donate it to. So we'll be taking a look at that. And remember, I'm not a real journalist or anything like that. I can assure you of that. But I'm just here to sort of like talk to you about things that are on my mind and what I've been thinking about recently and that type of stuff. And also we'll take a look at the news, and not forgetting, we will be recapping all of the entries for this year's Junior Eurovision Song Contest that is taking place next Saturday the 21st of November 2015 in Sofia in Bulgaria, the capital of Bulgaria. And I've got a couple of friends of mine in Bulgaria right at this moment who are going to be doing interviews for me and for my show on the Eurovision Showcase, which Nikki Allen and Ariana, a friend of mine as well, has also done some questions and stuff and some research. So big thank you to the pair of you guys. It means a heck of a lot to me. And I'd like to say it to you in person, but sadly I can't make it over to Bulgaria this week, which is a shame. I've hardly got any holiday left, to be fair. I've hardly got anything left. It's so sad. Never mind. So there we go. So we're going to have a lot of fun, guys. Remember, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheTutsExperience, and also you can follow us on Twitter at TutsExperience. Okay, wonderful. Now, we're going to go and talk about children in need, get it done and over the way. So this year, Sir Terry Wogan didn't host the show. And as many of you guys may know or may not know, BBC Children in Need is a big charity event, which the BBC partakes almost for the last 35 years. And it's a charity which has always had its big night sometime in mid-November. So excuse me. And it goes from there. Really, it's really just is a UK based charity. Since 1980, it's raised over £600 million, and it has changed the lives of children and young people right across the United Kingdom. And one of its highlights is of its annual telethon held in November. It's broadcasted on various different TV channels from like 7 p.m. until 2 a.m. And Pudsey Bear is the Children in Need's mascot, whilst Terry Wogan is the long-standing host. And this year, Sir Terry Wogan wasn't very well. He had some real bad back issues. So he did have a back operation not long ago, but he sadly couldn't make it, so Dermot O'Leary came on the show and co-hosted it with Tess Daly, which was quite weird, but it was what it was, of course. It was just strange to see Dermot on doing something on the BBC, because he was the former host of The X Factor for a number of years. But the BBC's Georgia Need is one of the three high-profile British telethons. And although the charity belongs to the BBC, other telethons, being Red Nose Dane Sports Relief, both support the Comic Relief charity. Following the closure of Television Centre, the 2013 telethon took place from BBC's Elstree Studios on Friday the 15th of November. And Television Centre was the big place of where the BBC used to run its stuff in White City, Shepherd's Bush area, but sadly the building has been closed down, and it's such an iconic building. I think it's still standing. It was last January when I was up there and working at Panache Travel at the time. So here you go. So I know I'm gonna bring a song to you guys now, and this is perfect. I'm gonna play a song for you which gives me goosebumps every time I hear it and makes me feel like a 6 year old. Enjoy this. You're going to enjoy this, I'm sure of it.
Welcome, Gary Wilmot.
All the little children under the sun need a place to spend their lives having fun. What a simple answer, just one remedy. If you want to help, help children in need. Doesn't really matter what race or what creed. If you want to help, help children in need.
We are children. Oh, yeah. We are need. We are the boys that is longing to see. We are the future. We are the team. We want to help, help children in need.
There's a kind of magic that we can all share. It's the sound of laughter filling the air. Nothing can replace it, it's all for free. Give a smile for all those children in need, yeah. We must give each other another chance. Look around the world, I know you'll agree. There's a better life for children.
We are the future.
That's Gary Wilmot there, and the Children in Need Charity Choir of 1996, live on the BBC, as you could tell. Gary Wilmot, also known as Harold Owen Wilmot, was born on the 8th of May, my dad's birthday, in 1954. He's an English singer, actor and comedian who rose to fame as a contestant on New Faces. He's a television presenter and he's also best known for to host the show So You Want to Be Top and also Showstoppers, which I think I just about remember. So we were talking about Children in Need, and there was this article which I thought actually was from this year, but actually it's not. It's from 2014. Well, it was quite a controversial one, actually, where the headline on the Daily Mail website is, "Why is Children in Need sitting on a £19 million fortune? Charity slashes some away in the investment portfolio instead of handing it out. Charity also has £2.2 million pounds in its accounts, up to 900,000 last year. A spokesman said money is being temporarily held and would be given away. And in 2008, BBC faced investigation after keeping £1,000 of charity money. The BBC Children in Need has kept £87.9 million stashed away in an investment portfolio instead of giving it directly to charity in its latest accounts reveal. The charity, which has raised more than £600 million for youngsters in the United Kingdom since 1980, is preparing to launch a fresh appeal to viewers next month." But remember, this was from last year, October 2014. "But some donors may be surprised to discover that it doesn't give its money directly to good causes. Children in Need has £87 million invested in a range of portfolios and up to £81.2 million last year, 2013. Another £2.2 million is sitting in bank accounts and up to £864 million last year. The latest charity drive will include a series of celebrity endorsing fundraising campaigns, as it does every year. A spokesman said the money is not simply cash. It's been allocated to projects working with disadvantaged children and young people throughout the United Kingdom. In line of standard grant-making practices, we do not typically release a full grant upon the successful applications from projects, but rather over a three-year period on a quantity basis, so we can monitor projects and ensure that they continue to comply with the terms and conditions of the grant. In 2008, the BBC faced a prospect of an investigation by the Serious Fraud Office after keeping more than £100,000, which should have been given to charity. Now, the broadcaster admits staff knowingly withheld money meant for causes, including Children in Need and Comic Relief, and the scandal emerged after auditors carried out an investigation into the BBC's phone voting systems. The cash was generated by callers after phoning telephone lines had closed, and about 20 shows believed to include the Eurovision Song Contest, Fame Academy between 2005 and 2007. They were still charged, and typically around 25 pence a time, but the cash went into a bank account of BBC Worldwide, a corporation's commercial arm, rather than its charities. The internal audit showed that a number of workers in Audio Call, part of BBC Worldwide, repeatedly kept money back, and it's now been passed on with interest. The BBC has said the smaller number of staff involved to face disciplinary action back then. Now, with it being such a large conglomerate, you know, the BBC is a huge, huge part of British life, and not only that, part of our viewing pleasure for years on end. You know, it's run Top Gear, it's run Doctor Who, Strictly Come Dancing, which has gone on to be a worldwide hit right across the world with its Dancing with the Stars, etc. But, you know, there are sort of questions about these types of things. But this year, 2015, they had a massive improvement, and probably, and I think, if I remember rightly, broke the record, a record-breaking £37 million was raised on the show this year. And they do some fantastic stuff, so I'm not discrediting any of that, but it's something that where I'm bringing the issue up just so you are aware of what's happened in the past, and not necessarily, you know, be worried or scared that if you're going to donate money to something like this, that, you know, to trying to deter you from it. But it sort of makes you think how big something like Children in Need is, and how much of a how much of the money does actually go towards administration costs and all those types of things, which is, you know, sadly quite sad. But, you know, you have to do it, you have to do it, don't you, really? Okay, so that's enough of me rambling on for that little bit. We're going to come back in just a few moments here on the Tuts Experience podcast.
Il ne me reste que des larmes. C'est quelques notes venues d'autrefois. Et le chant de nos prières, nos cœurs qui espèrent. Le vide sous mes pas. Il ne me reste que les cendres de mon village plongé dans le silence. Je ne suis qu'une blessure, un cœur sans armure. Comment survivre après ça? Mais je suis là, je n'oublie. Dans mon village, balayé par l'histoire, et je vis là, n'oubliez pas, effacé des cartes et des mémoires. Je me souviens du rire des enfants. Des hommes quand ils partaient au champ, les fêtes des moissons, l'odeur dans les maisons, les éclats d'amour et de joie. Mais je suis là, n'oubliez pas, effacez.
N'oubliez pas, Lisa Angèle. France's Eurovision entry to this year's Eurovision Song Contest 2015. Well, really, this song had to be played because of the sad things that happened in France. The sad events that really took place. I really don't want to go and sort of talk about what actually happened, because we all know what happened. There is no denying about that, but I really just wanted to bring it up, to be perfectly honest. Weapons were found in a getaway car You know, this is Sunday evening, Sunday the 15th of November. You know, time will only tell how this goes. But several Kalashnikovs have been found in an abandoned car believed to have been used by some of the Paris attackers, French judicial sources say. A black Seat car was found in eastern Paris, suburb of Montreuil, on Sunday, suggesting some of the attackers got away. Earlier, the first of the seven dead attackers was named Islami Mossafai. Six people close to him are in custody. Two attackers were French nationals living in Belgium, prosecutors say. France is marking 3 days of mourning for the 129 people. Prime Minister Manuel Villars has said most of the bodies have been identified and that the process should be completed within the next few hours. A special service of the victims, including 350 people wounded and other survivors, is being held in Paris Notre-Dame Cathedral later today, on Sunday the 15th of November. Well, Friday's attacks claimed by IS, Islamic State militants, hit a concert hall, a major sports stadium, the Stade de France in Saint-Étienne, just north of France, about 5 miles from the city centre, restaurants and bars in the French capital. In the political developments, Mr. Vallard says France will continue with airstrikes against IS in Syria and describe the group as a very well-organised enemy. EU Justice and Interior Ministers will hold an emergency meeting on Friday to discuss security measures, and President Hollande, François Hollande, cancelled plans to attend the G20 meeting in Turkey on Sunday and has held meetings with political leaders today. Well, a Seat car that was found in Montreal is believed to have been used by the gunmen who opened fire on the restaurants on Friday, police say. Several AK-47s have been found in the car as well. French media quoted judicial sources. Seat and another car used in the attacks, a Volkswagen Polo, was rented in Belgium. The black VW was found in the Bataclan court venue, where nearby 90 people were killed. How very sad. I feel sorry for the people of France, but I was really heartwarmed this afternoon. I turned on Sky Sports 1 and Portsmouth were facing AFC Wimbledon live on the Sky Sports Channel 1. And really, it's very heartwarming to know that, you know, even football fans are really, and I'm not trying to discredit football fans, but they're really showing their support for the French, and Brits are pretty well known to be, you know, particularly, it's not like they don't like the French, but they always take the mickey out of them, you know, the frog leg eating people, and call them wusses and stuff. But I would like to think that things are starting to really change now, and lend their support for our nearest neighbours next door. I mean, that is really what it's all about.
Í skjóli hjá kerti í glugga Vindur, já, dansaðu vindur Er vetur og kuldi gefa nýjan þrótt Vindur, já, dansaðu vindur Vertu á sveinum kalda jólarnótt snjónum nóttina svörtu nærast á takti og tónum títrandi hjörtu
Elfjör, that was an Icelandic cover of the Swedish Eurovision song that came third for One More Time in the 1996 Eurovision Song Contest. Now, I wasn't going to bring this up, but and I think I've previously said this in past Tuts Experience shows. Iceland is one of my favourite countries in Europe, and if not the world, and I absolutely had a wonderful time. But as I was searching through the BBC website, I came across this wonderful article in the BBC Sport football area. Now, how did a country with 329,000 people reach Euro 2016? Now, since coming on to replace his father, Anjor, as a 17-year-old substitute in 1996, Edjor Guðjónsson has spent most of his 19-year international career as Iceland's most celebrated player. But playing in the finals of a major tournament with a country that 3 years ago was ranked below low-ranked countries like Liechtenstein and Luxembourg always felt like a distant dream for a nation's only Champions League winner. Now, Guðjónsson, now 37, is now aiming to realise that ambition in next summer's European Championship. But it would be a remarkable story if he were to play in France. But then again, the nation has really been specialising in a remarkable sort of like feat, to be honest. In finishing second in their qualifying group, 7 points clear of the Netherlands, Iceland came the smallest nation ever to reach a major tournament, and the first to do so with a population below a million. Its inhabitants is just 329,000 people, not many more than the people who live actually in Coventry in England. Even El Salvador, beaten 10-1. In their opening game in the 1982 World Cup, had a population of more than 4 million backing their team, while Wales, who ended a 58-year wait for Iceland for qualification last month, has nearly 10 times the amount of people as Iceland do. So FIFA world ranking for Iceland is now 31. FIFA world ranking in May 2012 was 131. They have no professional clubs. The UEFA B license coaches is 639. UEFA A license coaches is 196. And UEFA Pro license coaches is 13. The older you get in footballing years, the further you get from realising what is your boyhood dream, Gudjonsson told BBC Sport. But when it happens, it makes you feel proud and privileged just to be a part of an amazing campaign. Exactly. Now, Gudjonsson owes his progression to beyond the normal bounds of Icelandic football and his father's annual career in Europe. The 7 years Gudjonsson spent in the Belgian side Anderlecht were allowed to grow Elnor and develop in a way in the harsh winter climate and the mountain terrain of his homeland, where football outside 4 or 5 months the summer period, small side games on hard indoor floors, of course. But living in Belgium, he was able to play inside. But most football pitches are inside stadiums inside of Iceland. So, but despite Iceland having no professional clubs at all, there is an extraordinary high number of qualified coaches in the country, with 639 people holding a UEFA B license, as we already said earlier. So, really, Iceland have really showed themselves up to be quite a contender in this match, and you never know what could happen. Their recent friendly was against Kazakhstan, and they drew 0-0, which isn't too bad, I suppose. Iceland beat the Netherlands 2-0. They lost to Croatia 2-0, but then drew beforehand as well, back in 2013 and stuff. But Wales have beat them 3-1-2 in a friendly. So, yeah, it's ups and downs, really. But more ups than anything else for Iceland. And really, the very, very best of luck to them.
You
Chrissia with hashtag Discover. That is the actual theme song for this year's Junior Eurovision Song Contest. Yes. The 2015 Junior Eurovision Song Contest. It's the 13th annual, taking place in the Arena Armenek in Sofia, the capital of Bulgaria, on the 21st of November 2015. This will be the first time that the Bulgarian national broadcaster, Bulgarian National Television, BNT, are organising a Eurovision event. And 17 countries will participate, with Australia and Ireland making their debut at the 2015 contest. Albania and Macedonia will return after being absent since 2012 and 2013's contest, respectively. Croatia and Cyprus have sadly withdrawn this contest, while Sweden will be withdrawing for the first time since 2008. Yes. Now, following Italy's win at the Junior Eurovision 2014, the European Broadcasting Union had given the Italian broadcaster, Rai, their first refusal to host the 2015 contest. However, on the 15th of January 2015, Rai declined to host the right to hold the contest. And the executive supervisor of the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, Vatislav Yonkolev, praised the Italian broadcaster Rai for the time looking into the possibility of hosting, even though they made the debut entry in 2014, and further explained to how the EBU were likely to position and receive the bids from two countries, of course. The EBU announced later that day that they received bids from two countries to host the contest. Those were being Bulgaria and Malta, who finished second and fourth places, respectively, in 2014. Bulgarian national broadcaster BNT confirmed on the 15th of January that they had submitted a bid to host the 2015 Junior Contest, and the national broadcaster from Malta, PBS, stated prior to 2000 contest that they would love to host again if they won. On the 26th of January 2015, it was announced that Bulgaria had been chosen to host the 2015 Junior Eurovision Song Contest, which will take place on the 21st of November. Now, the host broadcaster announced on the 21st of October that Polly Genova, who represented Bulgaria at the Eurovision Song Contest 2011, sadly didn't qualify, but doesn't matter, would be the presenter of the 2015 Junior Eurovision Song Contest. Now, let's listen to her entry in 2011.
Yeah.
is Polly Genova with Nani Nat, Bulgaria 2011. Almost qualified, actually. It's a shame it didn't in the end. Never mind. So, since the first time since 2007, there will be 17 countries taking part in the Junior Eurovision Song Contest. So, let's take a look at them, shall we? Albania, Michele Rapo, Dumaye. Armenia, this is Mika with Love. Australia, Bella Page, My Girls. Belarus, Ruslan Aslanov with Magic. Volesh Bilosko. Bulgaria, Gabriella and Ivan with Color of Hope. For Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, Ivana and Magdalena with Pledinka. This is Georgia, The Virus with Gabby Day. Oh dear. Another debut entry, this is from Ireland, Amy Banks with Rolata Namara in Irish Gaelic. And this is Italy, Chiara and Martina with Viva. A young Aretha Franklin here for Malta, Destiny Chocaniera with Not My Soul. This is Montenegro with Jana Merkovic with Ulja, which means storm. This is Russia. This is Mikhail Sermonov with Dream. In Russian, Mircea. This is San Marino, Camilla Islamova with Mirror on the Wall. This is Lena Stamenjakovic with Lena Pesma, which means Lena's song. This is Slovenia and Lena Kovic with Priva Lisbon, which means first love. Slovenia. And the Netherlands, this is Shalisa with A Million Lights. And finally, the Ukraine, Anna Tritcha with Pozni Nizebe, which means start with yourself. Yeah, so there we go. The songs for the Junior Eurovision 2015. So very exciting. Okay, well, now what we're going to do, ladies and gents, is we are going to listen to one of my favourite Junior Eurovision Song Contest songs of all time. It's from Laura, and it's Zo Verliefd, represented Belgium in 2009's Junior Eurovision Song Contest. The Netherlands, but it was Belgium 2009. Now, there's been some really interesting movements going on within the EBU recently, and I'm going to point some out to you now. This is from the Private Eye here in the UK, titled The Eurovision Pong Contest. Now, there's a reason for this now. Now, BBC licence fee payers contribute a significant sum each year to the running of the costs of the Eurovision Song Contest, which increasingly useful guarantees as a place for us in the finals. The most recent figures for the 2012 show, the BBC was paying £310,000 to the European Broadcasting Union. By coincidence, this is around the same amount the European Broadcasting Union pays out to an independent Dutch company, WOWWORKS, each year. Now, WOWWORKS holds two contracts with the EBU. One is worth €112,000 and is to provide consultancy services. The other, which is worth €312,995, is to provide new media and communication services. Now, how did it acquire these contracts? No one knows. WOWWORKS is run by Sister Barker, an official Eurovision employee, was just handed them. Neither contract has been subject to any sort of competitive tender, and the Eurovision officials have never been keen on explaining why. Accusations of cronyism. Now, however, it seems they now have decided that it's a bit of a friendly competition might just have put the tonic to the stop of accusations of cronyism. So on the 16th of November, the EBU announced it would be putting the contracts to run supporting services for the song contest itself and its lower profile sister events out to tender. Announcing it on Friday evening caught many off by guard, but not Barker, who within the hour declared on Facebook his intention to bid. A four-week window in which the EBU would accept bids happened to clash almost exactly with one of the busiest times of the year for those working on the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, effectively ruling out many internal staff from applying. That's more one clause in the terms and conditions that made it more like a trawl of free ideas than a serious tender process. The EBU should be entitled to use free from any payment and restrictions all ideas, concepts and proposals, recommendations and other materials. And if bidders' ideas did end up being stolen, they couldn't even complain publicity because other clauses banned them from revealing that they had entered. Kath Lockett, head of communications for Junior Eurovision, was quick to question the transparency of the arrangements, using the replies beneath Baker's Facebook post and asking some poignant questions. Did he, she inquired, ever intend to pay any of the volunteers who wrote the content for the website? His company was paid €312,995 to run. And could he give any details as to where the ad revenue generated by the site's 2 billion YouTube views ended up? The result? Lockett's posts were deleted within 15 minutes and she was fired, effective immediately. Amid increasing press interest and persistent comparisons to the developments on the larger scale at FIFA, the EBU last week extended the deadline for tender processes until the 18th of December. Eurovision insiders do not, however, anticipate this causing too many problems for Sister Barker. His nickname is not Sepp Barker for anything. Ooh, dear. So, there's a little bit of a rift going on in the EBU at the moment in Geneva in regards to all these contracts and stuff. I mean, I really don't want to get bogged down with all of the politicalness of it all, but dearie me, it's a bit of a sad shame going on there, and I hope things get sorted out soon, really. Okay, so we're almost coming to the end of the Tuts Experience, guys. I've got only one other thing to really talk to you about, to be perfectly honest, and then we can sort of like say our goodbyes. I would have a chat with Connell, but sadly, as I said earlier, Connell is very, very busy at the moment. And to be honest with you, I'm not very well either. I've got a stinking cold and a sore throat, and it's quite hard to talk. God, I sound like an old man, don't I? But we'll be back here on the Tuts Experience very shortly.
My eyes have told you, oh, I never laid a hand on you. My eyes have told you, like a million miles away from me, you couldn't see how I adored you. So close and yet so far. Carried your books from school, playing make-believe to me. You were fifth grade, I was sixth when we came to be. Walking home every day over Barnacott Bridge and Bay, till we grew into me and you, who went our separate way. My eyes are tortured, oh, I never laid a hand on. So far, headed for city lights, climb the ladder up to fortune and fame. I worked my fingers to the bone, made myself a name. Funny, I seem to find that no matter how the years unwind, still I reminisce about the girl I miss and the love I.
Frankie Valli, My Eyes Adored You. I haven't heard that song ever before until earlier this week, to be honest. And I was like, oh, it's Frankie Valli. Oh, this is a bit different than Greece, isn't it? Greece is the word. And Who Loves You, of course. But great 70s music there. Oh. But I want to play this theme tune, and it just reminds me, again, of really good times. Not only that, the happiness that I do now love this song, that love this TV show, and it is now finally back. We'll be right back. yes, MasterChef. Yeah, MasterChef 2015, The Professionals, is back with Marcus Wearing and Monica, and also Greg Wallace, of course, hosting the show. And evenings on a Wednesday, or Thursday and Friday are finally back to the best times. And I love the cooking shows of MasterChef. I think it's wonderful. And the Brits just do it best. I know Australia's one lasts for 6 months. It's ridiculous. Where our one, I think, only lasts for about 5 to 6 weeks. So, but it just, they just show quality rather than, you know, the X Factor tears and crying and stuff, which drives me absolutely bonkers. Oh, it's horrible. But no, honestly, seriously, I mean, it's just great now. I mean, the television shows are just wonderful. They are so much fun, and I know it's just watching people cooking, but it's just great. It really does entertain me very much. But the main thing I really wanted to talk to you about at the moment is UFC. Now, last night, Ronda Rousey lost her UFC title. And it's amazing to me that how many people actually watch it, but not only that, seem to take it so seriously. The fact that she lost, you know, well, not only that, the fact that, you know, they just seem to think so much of it. And I don't get it, but oh, dearie me. Yeah, it's going to be very strange. But after what's happened in France over the last week on social media, it scares me, the fact that what people are saying and what people are doing. It's just a lot of overreacting in regards to all of the sentiments towards Muslims, people who believe in Islam, and all this type of thing, about thinking that immigration is probably one of the things that has aggravated it and bad for the UK. Now, I think it's probably even worse over in Europe, but I think people really do need to think about what they're saying before they go and put it on social networking, because to be honest with you, I've deleted a lot of friends off Facebook because of that. Not only that, some of them I've unfollowed too. But that's just my sheer thing, because it scares me. I mean, we've already got people like freaking Donald Trump over in the United States who needs to basically, who just goes on and on and on. And I don't really want to talk about it, because I don't think he deserves my time, to be honest with you guys. And that's the way it should be. Anyways, so anyway, we're going to be going very shortly. But I will pay you one more song before we go. And I hope is the song that you're all going to enjoy. And bring back some very good memories.
J'ai compris tous les mots, j'ai bien compris, merci. Raisonnable et nouveau, c'est ainsi par ici. Que les choses ont changé, que les fleurs ont fané, que le temps d'avant, c'était le temps d'avant. Que ces doux appellages, les amours s'y passent. Il faut que tu saches, j'irai chercher ton cœur. Si tu l'emportes ailleurs, même si dans tes danses d'autres dansent des heures, j'irai chercher ton âme, dans les froids, dans les flammes. Des sorts pour que tu m'aimes encore, pour que tu m'aimes encore. N'allez pas commencer à m'attirer, me toucher. N'allez pas t'en donner, moi je sais pas jouer. mort, avant que l'on s'attache, avant que l'on se gâche. Je veux que tu saches, je vais chercher ton cœur, si tu l'emportes ailleurs, même si dans tes danses, d'autres dansent tes heures. J'irai chercher ton âme, dans les froids, dans les flammes, je te jetterai des sorts, pour que tu m'aimes encore. Je trouverai des langages, pour chanter tes louanges, je ferai nos bagages, pour d'infinis vendanges. Les formules magiques, des marabouts d'Afrique, je dirai sans
Mon Coeur. That is from Miss Celine Dion, a song that really has a lot of feeling and a lot of love that I have for it too, if that makes any sense whatsoever. But thank you for being with me for this week on the Eurovision, sorry, the Tuts Experience. Oh dearie me, I've had a wonderful time this week, but I've just remembered that I have an email, and sadly this email has got sent to me weeks ago, and I've only just started to, you know, well, find a time to record the podcast, of course, because I've been doing my Eurovision showcase, I've had work, and I've had so many things out of work, and, you know, social stuff is crazy. Now, I had a lovely email from Anne Squires back a few weeks ago, actually, the 21st of October. So, oh, I'm so sorry, Anne, but I do only really do the Tuts Experience at least once a month or so. I don't want to bore you with things too much, but I might do one next week, actually, after Hell in a Cell and Junior Eurovision. So we'll see how it goes. So Anne says, hi, Kieran, hope you're well. Yes, I'm very well, thank you. Yes, just got a bit of a cold and a bit, but never mind, I've got moussaka for tonight for din-dins. Can't wait. I'm currently sat feeling sorry for myself, she says, having a very snotty nose and surrounded by a selection of pharmaceutical products to try and make myself feel better. Oh, you poor thing. However, I'm trying to combat and listening to the latest Tuts Experience podcast. Oh, thank you. Now, having yourself and Connell talk about Restless Walk on music being quite cool, I wondered which Eurovision song or Eurovision or songs by Eurovision artists might make great walk on music. I mean, I cannot help but see a pun in having Rybak come out to Fairy Tale. Of course, Alexander Rybak sang Fairy Tale, Norwegian winner in 2009. And Rybak, former Intercontinental Champion. Yes, of course. Now, are there any songs that contain the nickname or name of a wrestler? And do you have some wrestling knowledge, although not that much of modern stuff? Oh, sorry, she says that I do, meaning Anne does have some wrestling knowledge, although not that much of modern stuff. However, if I see a wrestler I see on the telly, usually I go, wow, you're still alive. I know. Things are starting to get better, though, I must admit. It really does, because Bret Hart's still alive, even though he looks like a he looks like an Indian mummy. No, not an Indian mummy. An old sort of like high chief mummy, Indian. It's really funny. I don't know if you know what I mean, but there you go. They showed a few WWE pay-per-views on Channel 4 in the early 2000s. Yes, I remember, as well as airing Heat. I remember watching Heat. I do, on a Sunday afternoon on Channel 4. But I remember specifically Armageddon 1999, Royal Rumble 2000, and No Way Out 2000. They were all on Channel 4. I have a feeling that WrestleMania 2000 was only on Sky, but Backlash was on that time. Yes, but Backlash was on Channel 4, and then they changed it back, I think. But I don't think Judgment Day 2000 was on Channel 4. I think that went back to Sky. The second episode I ever watched of Heat had a wrestling music montage segment, and it by a certain lady called Anouk. Oh, not Anouk Netherlands 2013, is it? So I'm not suggesting you do a podcast about it, especially if it's hard work. It's just something that ties up loose ends and something trivial that crossed my mind. Loving your work, Anne, Andy and Marcus. Oh, thank you, guys. Oh, I really appreciate it. Now, speaking of music, and entrance music for a wrestler. Now, do you know Christina, who represented Slovakia in 2010? Well, not necessarily her music, Heroni. But if you remember, last year she released a song called Tahne. Now that would be so awesome for a face diva to come down to the ring to. That would be really cool. But if anybody knows, remembers Tattoo. Now Tattoo represented Russia in 2003's Eurovision Song Contest. That was awesome. And what was the song? All the Things She Said. Yeah, that was Victoria's theme tune. And I remember watching WrestleMania 19 and going crazy that in the huge Seiko Field in Seattle, Washington, Victoria was the women's champion, coming out with Stevie Richards back then, her main squeeze. And it just looked really odd, but it was so cool. It's like, all the things she said, all the things she said, running through my head, running through the head, running through the head. Oh, it was great. It gave me goosebumps. I'm still thinking of it now. It gave me goosebumps. But that's so cool. I loved it. So, made me think. I'll have to have a big think about that, Anne. And maybe at next time I do the Tuts Experience, I'll probably be able to have a good think about it. And but I think that's a really cool idea. I love it. So thank you very much, Anne, for that. Very much appreciated. And I'm terribly sorry, I almost forgot about your email. But I would have gone back and sorted it out anyway. believe me, I would have done. So there we are. Yes, that's the end for the Tuts Experience. I hope you enjoyed that Celine Dion song we had just now, Pour tout mon cœur. One of my favourite Eurovision... not your favourite Eurovision. I wish it was that Eurovision entry. Wow. Pour tout mon cœur, a song that really means a lot to me. And it's my favourite Celine Dion song ever. I really, really believe that. So, yes, this is it for me, Kieran Tussie. Guys, remember you can get in contact with us at Tuts Experience on Twitter and facebook.com/TheTutsExperience. And remember you can send an email just like Anne did at tutsexperience@hotmail.com. So that's TUTS experience@hotmail.com. I hope you've enjoyed the show, guys. And I'm going to leave you now with something that I thought needed to be said at the end of this show. After what happened last Friday in Paris, this is an incredible speech. And I think it's apropos for a show like this. It's one of the greatest speeches ever made in a film ever. And probably rose this gentleman up to the god status that he really is. Charlie Chaplin's speech from The Great Dictator, a film that was created in the 1940s. See you later, everybody, and restez fort de France, le Royaume-Uni, c'est avec vous. Merci. Au revoir.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world. Millions of despairing men, women, and children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines, you are not cattle, you are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate, only the unloved hate, the unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power to create machines, the power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world, that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power, but they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
Toots Experience.